If you would, and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Those of you who accepted the 10 chapter a day challenge, well, you should be getting close to wrapping up. Say, well, I'm not. Well, hang in there. You got a few days left, amen. Just hang in there. If you read 10 chapters a day for 27 days, you can read the New Testament through. And I trust that that will be something that you would consider, reading your Bible daily, not just a verse a day, though that's better than not reading it at all, right? Just stay in the Word, brethren. That's where it's at. It's in the Word of God. That's where it's at. The devil will do whatever he can to keep you out of this book. And if you think you can do okay without the book, he's got you. All right? If you're saved and you think, well, you know what? I really don't have to read the Bible every day. I'm good. Yeah, he's got you. And I don't say that condescending. I'm not in a condescending matter. I say it in a compassionate way. Don't think that you can go without reading God's Word and be a victorious Christian and live the victorious Christian life. We need God's Word. Now you say, well, I'm not going to read 10 chapters a day. Well, that's between you and God. I just laid the challenge out there. That's all. And I'll challenge you again next month. And then the next month. All right? You say, we got to shut you up. Well, I don't even want to talk about that. Revelation chapter 20. Just stay in God's Word. I tell you, when somebody's telling you to read the Bible and you saying, I wish he'd shut up, then you know you're in a bad place in your life. That's right. And I don't think you're there. I think that many of you have accepted that challenge. And even if you're not reading 10 chapters a day, just read the Bible. Read the Bible. Make much use of God's Word. All right? Here's what I'd like to do today in this time that we have together. I want to remind you that what God is doing, you're in Revelation 20. Turn back to chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, and hold your place in chapter 4, and then we'll turn to chapter number 1. All right? I want to show you some things. Now, what God is doing here is he's saying this. He's saying, I want to show you how you can know the future. And so I'm going to tell you some things in the future. And we don't need psychic readings, and we don't need psychics. We don't need Dionne Warwick and any of that other crowd, palm readers. We have the Bible. Amen. We have the Word of God. We don't need that stuff. I don't need a horoscope. That's right. I don't need some fake way of trying to tell me what tomorrow holds. I don't need that. I know who holds tomorrow. That's all I need. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, I want you to look at verse number 19. Revelation 1:19, this is what God is saying. Jesus said, write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are, and watch this, and the things which shall be hereafter. He said, I'm going to pull the veil back, and I'm going to show you the future. All right, now turn to chapter 4. First, he says, I'm going to show it to you. He said, I want you to write it down. Then he said in chapter 4, look at verse number 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So I'm going to show you some things that's going to take place. God said, I'm going to pull the curtain back and let you see into the future. Now listen, if somebody down at the end of the road were to say that, they'd fill up a 10,000 seat auditorium. But you open the Bible and say it, and people scoff at it. You know why? Because people hate God, and they hate his Word. And there's an enemy, you see. There's an enemy. It's the devil. And the devil deceives people. The devil doesn't care if you go see somebody at some tent, some circus, that's going to try to read your palm and tell you what's in the future. But he does care if you open this black book, the Word of God, and look into what God says tomorrow holds. And so we begin to read this, and it says that what's going to happen in chapter 4, God said, I want you to know what's going to happen to you that are saved. He said, you that are saved, he said, you're going to be called out of here one day. Now, we talked about that. And he said, when you're called out of here, I'm calling you up to heaven. And I'm calling you up to heaven so that you won't go through this terrible time that's coming upon this earth called the tribulation period. For 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And we studied that in chapter 6 through chapter 10, the tribulation period. And then in chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, we looked at some characters. Remember those characters, the two prophets and the dragon and the man-child and the woman in chapter 12, the two witnesses there in chapter 11. Chapter 13, the beast of the sea, the beast of the land, the earth, the Antichrist and the false prophet. We looked at that. And so we looked at these things. We looked at those 144,000 sealed witnesses, those Jewish missionaries, evangelists, those fiery preachers in chapter 14. And then in chapters 15 through chapter number 18, right around verse of chapter 19, we took a look at the Great Tribulation, which is the last half of that seven-year period. So you have a first half, which is tribulation, the last half, which is the Great Tribulation, and then while that's taking place here on earth, we're going to be in heaven. And God said, I'm pulling the veil back. I'm letting you see. I want you to know this is what's going to happen, brethren. I want you to hear me now. It's going to happen. Just like God said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If I didn't have anything else, and I do, to know that it's going to happen, I just look at history. God said that he was going to send his son. How many of you believe God sent his son? Raise your hand. It happened. You know why? Because God said it was going to. See, one day, those people were where we are now. They were on this side of what God said he was going to do happening, but now they're on the other side. They actually saw it, and they're on the other side, right? We're on this side now. One day, we'll be on the other side of what God said is going to happen. You mark it down. It's going to happen, just like God said it's going to happen, and I'm glad that it is. I don't know all that God's going to do, but God has given in his word right here in the book of the Revelation. The word revelation means unveiling, the revealing. God is going to reveal, and he does in this book. Now we get to chapter number 20, and that's where I'm going to give you an overview of what's yet to happen. And in the weeks to come, we'll dive in a little deeper. So I want you to listen very carefully. There are some things that's going to happen that, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Not as though that those things that God has already shown us is not mind-boggling. I mean, it's mind-boggling enough to know, and we'll talk just a little bit about this tonight, that there's going to be a resurrection. Can I ask you just a question? I just want to get personal with you for a moment. Do you believe that the dead shall live again? Now think about that for a moment. Don't just answer. Some people just answer without thinking. We're going to talk about that word too. Some people don't think. I believe that's why a lot of people's not saved that are not saved, because they just don't think. See, I believe if people thought this thing through, there'd be a lot more people saved than what's saved. If people would just think it through, there's no way that a person, if they would just think it through, believe that everything came from a big bang. Just think it through. That we came from some soup, some single cell amoeba that's washed up on the shore. Where'd that come from? You know? And you could go, just think it through. I got up this morning and I walked downstairs and I told Sharon, I said, you know, I said, I've read some very discouraging news this morning. And I got my phone and I said, it says right here that scientists, this is on the Weather Channel. I'm steady tracking the weather at Outer Banks. We're going there next week, so I'm steady tracking that. And so I'm awakened to this morning. Scientists have given the sad news that most mammals on Earth are only going to be around for about 250 million more years. And the reason for that, and they get, you know, they had an article of why that's going to happen. And I told Sharon, I said, it's just devastating. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the day. That is about the most foolish thing And there's people who believe that. They believe that stuff. Brethren, I believe this. I want to saturate my life in absolute truth. Truth is important. I don't want to live or believe the lie. And the Word of God says it's coming to where men will believe the lie. Now, the lie is the Antichrist. Now, the devil is a liar, but one day he's going to become the lie in the form of a man. Are you listening? Here in chapter number 20, God says, I want to lay out, and I'm going to try to help you, and I wanted to lay out an overview of the way the book of the Revelation ends. There's some major events getting ready to take place. If you remember last couple of weeks, we talked about the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the close of those two events in chapter number 19, the church with Jesus is coming back to this earth, and we're going to pick up what's going to happen then. Okay, so God has pulled back the veil, and he said, listen, I'm going to call you up, and you're going to be up here in heaven, and then there's going to be these things going on earth, the tribulation and the great tribulation period here on this earth while you're in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you're coming back at the close of the tribulation, and there's going to be the battle of Armageddon. Okay? Now, here's what he says. At that time, Revelation chapter 20 says there's going to be this major event that takes place. We're not going to go into any one of these major events. I just want to highlight them. I hope you'll write them down, mark them in your Bible, and read a little bit on it so you'll be prepared to study it when we spend more time on each individual part of the closing part of the book of the Revelation. So the last events, what are they? Look at chapter 20, verse number 1. John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So here is the binding or the bounding of Satan. He's going to be bound up and he's going to be in prison. Far as I can tell, this is the longest imprisonment, the longest sentence in the history of mankind. This 1,000-year sentence, that's his sentence. This is going to take place, brother. Are you listening to me? This is actually going to happen. Now, the Bible doesn't say. I wrote down a couple of questions, and I'm going to try to answer them for you when we study this in detail. Why is he bound? Why is Satan bound? I think we're going to find that out. And then there's this question. How is he bound? Can you bind a spirit? Can you bind a spirit? Well, the Bible doesn't say what kind of chain. It just said it had a great chain. As a matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here and go back just to the book of 2 Peter, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. I find this very interesting, and I don't want to spend too much time here because we will study it when we get to this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there's already been spirits bound. There were angels that kept not their first estate. In 2 Peter, and Jude tells us about these angels, and listen, God deals with unrighteousness. No one gets away with unrighteousness. No one. Not sinners, not saints, not angels, not anyone. No one gets away. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and we know those to be what? Devils. They're devils. The angels that kept not their first estate. Now, there are some that kept not their first estate that they're still in bondage. Now, many are roaming free. We know that. How do we know that? Somebody said something, I didn't hear it. Because they feel people. Yeah, right? They oppress people. They possess people. Devils do that, right, brethren? Yes, the Bible says so. The Bible says in the days of Jesus, the Bible says that they were people that were filled with unclean spirits. They were filled with devils. There was one man filled with legion. For we are many, he said. Devils, fallen angels. Now, there are also angels that fell that kept not their first estate, which means they left their habitation. They had a role that God gave them, and they went outside of that role. And this is not the message tonight, but I think I know what that role is. But when you look here at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, he said these angels kept, they sinned, they were cast down to hell and delivered them in what? Into chains of darkness. So spirits can be chained. Maybe a man can't chain them, but God can chain them. That's right. Because God can do what seems to man to be impossible. With man, there's some things that are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And so when you turn to Jude, we have the same thing. I believe it's just in a little different way. The book of Jude, if you'll just go back toward the book of the Revelation there. Jude. Notice, if you would, what Jude says. Verse number 6 says of Jude, and the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. One day they're going to be let out. See, they're chained until the judgment of the great day. And we'll talk about that more when we get to that study. So we go back to Revelation 20 and we see this, okay? We see where Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, all right? 1,000 years. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says, because the Bible says this is kind of why. This is why the devil is going to be bound. One reason he's going to be bound is because Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, the 1,000-year kingdom of the millennial reign of Christ, and we'll talk about that. That's another big event we're going to talk about. But I think that the description of him that is bound is the reason why God is binding him. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He laid and he laid hold of the dragon. I looked that word up, and you know what? I didn't know this, okay? Maybe you did. I didn't know what the word dragon meant. So I looked this word up, and this is what it says about this dragon, okay? To look upon, to fascinate. I thought that was really interesting. So here is this enemy of God's people that is called the dragon. You go home and look it up. And it says that he is to look upon. He fascinates people. You know, did you know that's why people follow hard after sin? You know, the devil just fascinates, doesn't he? And just draws people. A lot of times we think of the devil, we think of this scary, you know, this monstrous, scary looking that repels and repulses people. And I do believe he can certainly reveal himself as that. But here, this dragon, it's almost like the scripture says he captivates people, and he just entices them. He draws them. He fascinates them. Then it says this, not only in verse number 2 is he referred to as the dragon, but that old serpent. The word serpent means cunning and malicious. Verse number 3 really sums it up when it says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up to set a seal upon him that he should, you see that word, deceive. That's what serpent, he's a deceiver. That's why he's been bound for 1,000 years. God is going to take away the lure, the enticement, the deception of sin for 1,000 years, and there's a purpose for it. And so God is going to bind him. Now, I don't believe that I'm getting outside the scriptures here. I don't know that all the devils are going to be bound too, but I believe they will be. I believe they will be. I believe there is rather an inference here that all evil will be banished from the face of the earth for 1,000 years. And we'll get to that a little more later. And so here it says he is the dragon. You see that? Then it says he is the old serpent. Then it's, which is the devil. The devil. You know what the devil, the word devil means? Slanderer. Accuser. The accuser. And so God said, I'm going to put this individual, that old serpent, that dragon, the devil. Then it says, and Satan. You see that in verse number 2? And Satan. And it says, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. So God said, I'm going to take this away from mankind. I'm going to take away that lure, that enticement, that fascination of sin, that deception, the old slander, the accuser of the brethren. I'm going to take him, I'm going to bind him for 1,000 years. And he said, I'm doing it for a purpose. And I want you to be thinking about, why would God do that? What's the purpose behind this? We may answer it tonight. If not, we'll answer it when we get back to this. But that's the first big event. That's big, brethren. That's big. It tells me a lot of things. All right? When I read that, it tells me, you know, I need to keep in mind, in God's eye, how weak the devil is. You know, some people, when you ask them, and I think I've done that here, you know, I've done this here, say, you know, help me out here. Let's play the game of opposites. You say, you know, good, bad, right? Strong, weak. God, the devil. No. 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 Creator. Creature. Created. The devil is nowhere near God. Some people think that you got God up here at 100 and devil's like at 94, 95 maybe, depending on. No, not even close. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look again at verse number 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit with a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon. Just him alone. Just an angel. It's almost like God said, you, come here. Go take care of my light work. Now, don't you try that. You say, well, I'm glad you told me that, preacher. Where's the devil at? I'm going to get him. You better watch out. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, we had these guys, and every now and then Dr. Clark would have to tell them, now listen, don't leave here thinking you're going to charge hell with a water pistol. We won't be seeing you around anymore. You'll be done flunked out of the ministry. And so we do understand that the devil is certainly a powerful being to us, even to the point to where Michael the archangel does not bring a railing accusation against him. However, when it comes to power, when it comes to authority, God said, here, I'm going to send an angel down to lock him up. Do you see that? As a matter of fact, I found this very interesting. Turn back just for a moment and to chapter number 9. This is just really interesting to me. The devil doesn't, he doesn't have any keys left. The devil is so deceived. I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. He doesn't understand how God is using him to bring forth his own purposes. See, we don't understand it either, but the devil doesn't either. Who can know the mind of God? God uses even the devil, even evil, to bring forth his own purposes. God can do that. Watch this. Look at chapter 9. Look in chapter 9, verse 1 of the Revelation. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star. Now, this is different. I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. You see the difference here? It's not an angel coming down. It's a star falling. And he didn't have the key. It had to be given to him. When you read this, and I don't have time to go into it, I challenge you to go home and read this and compare it with chapter 20, and you'll see a few things that's really happening here. All right? God said, your time is up. Your time is up. And he said, I'm going to bind you. And so he did. That's a major event that's going to take place one day. I'm just as sure that this is going to take place as I am that we're in this building tonight. And I hope that you are. Number two. Look, if you would, in verses 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, here's two groups of people. Okay, you have these thrones, which were mentioned back in chapter 4 and chapter 5. These seats, these thrones, and those that sit on them, which were those that were brought out of the world in chapter 4, that were raptured out. And then you have these people that were beheaded. Notice what it says here. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. In other words, so you have your church saints and your tribulation saints. And we'll get into this in detail when we study this. But this is a big deal, okay? And he said this. He said that these tribulation saints that were beheaded for Jesus, for the word of God, because they had not worshipped the beast, I mean chapter 4, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And he said that these groups of individuals, the church saints and the tribulation saints, he said that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I think it's interesting. So the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. During this 1,000 years, Christ is going to be reigning, as we shall see in a moment. And then the church saints and the tribulation saints live and reign with him for 1,000 years. You see that? Now look at verse number 5. But the rest of the dead, all right? The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. Now this is a very interesting phrase here. This is the first resurrection. You believe the dead's going to live again? I do. I've pinned my faith on that. Everything that I believe, I pinned it on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything I believe. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I don't believe anything in that book. But because he did, I believe everything in this book. My life is modeled after that fact. I believe Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. I live my life in the light of eternity based on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe every Christian should. I believe every Christian should. You say, well, don't you believe this or believe that? Believe all of it. But I wouldn't believe any of it if I didn't believe Jesus resurrected from the dead. Right? This is the cornerstone of our faith, brethren. Jesus is alive. He was dead, Revelation 1 said. But behold, he's alive forevermore, you see. And so what's happening here? The first resurrection? Are there going to be more? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll answer that question. You go back. Let's just do it just for, I'm not going to answer the question, but I do want to show you something. I hope you'll go home and read this. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there if you would. You see, there's been some people that were dead that have already resurrected. They did when Jesus was crucified. Amen. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians 15, we have what we call, in Bible terms, the order of the resurrections. All right? And here's the way Paul laid it out. I like what he said in verse number 19 because, listen, this could be a life verse for me. Now, it's not. Romans 5:8 is, but this is right up there at the top. I believe this. Look at verse number 19. I just think it pretty much, it defines how we're going to live life as Christians. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Brother, if you think this is it, are you listening to me? If you think this is it, you don't have a whole lot going on for you. That might be why there's a lot of long faces around churches our day. I praise God for this life, but I praise God for the one that is to come. Amen. This life is not all there is. I praise God for this life. I don't ever want to be unthankful for what God has given me. But how I praise him that this life is not all there is. I praise God for that. And then he said in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep or slept. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and Pastor BJ's been doing a tremendous job bringing that out about what people would call the prehistoric or pre-Adamic race. No such thing, brother. No such thing. You shut that up immediately. Amen. When someone tells you that, you just hold your hand out and say, you off base there, my friend. No such thing. No such thing as a pre-Adamic race. No such thing as prehistoric this and that. No. In Adam, all die. And so he said, as in Adam all die, he says, so in Christ even shall all be made alive. Now watch this. Here it is. But every man, follow it close now, in his order. What are we talking about? We're talking about dying and coming back to life. There's an order to it. He said every man's going to come back to life in his order. You see that? Every man in his order. Christ, the first fruits. And we'll talk about that. When Christ resurrected, when Christ was crucified, there were others that rose in his likeness, Old Testament saints. And they walked the earth, and many people seen them. And then it says this, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. That's us. That's the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And then he said this in verse number 24. Then cometh the end. The word cometh is in italicized, in italics, which means it was placed there by the translators, and I'm glad it was, to bring clarity. But then the end resurrection. So there's the first Christ and the first fruits resurrection. And then there's we that are Christ that is coming, right? The rapture of the church, translation of the saints, the church. And then the end resurrection. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But do you see this? I hope that you will. And we'll talk about it. As we go back to Revelation 20, the second major event that we're going to talk about is the resurrections. And this is what the Bible says. It said that the rest of the dead lived not, in verse number 5 of Revelation 20, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. See, those tribulation saints got added in to that. Those that were beheaded got added in. They're called the gleaning. So see, there's the harvest of Christ at his coming, of we're the harvest, and then there's the gleanings, that's those that are saved during the tribulation, and they get added into that resurrection. Amen. And then he said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now what's the second death? What is the second death? Biblically, what is the second death? The second death is defined in Revelation chapter 20 and in chapter 21. Look at chapter 20. Look down, if you would, in verse number 14. The second death, it says, and death and hell, death, the body of the unsaved, hell, the holding place for the spirits of the unsaved, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Watch this now. This is the second death. I don't know that you can get any clearer than that. The second death is eternal separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. Now that's real. You say, preacher, you believe that? I mean, with all of the technology and all the intellectuals and the intelligentsia we have in our modern day, believe every word of it. Believe every word of it. I'm going to take God over man. The second death. Look at chapter 21. Look at verse 8. But the fearful, Revelation 21 verse 8, and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Look at it again. Which is the second death. The second death is when man is eternally separated from God by being cast into the lake of fire. Eternal separation from God forever. And it's real. And it's real. Hey, preacher, what do we want to have some kind of harvest days for? Why don't we try to win souls? Why would you pass out a gospel tract? Why would you tell somebody that would spit on you about Jesus because there's a second death? And I don't want to see anybody go there. And if you do, there's something disconnected with you. You say, well, you just wouldn't believe what someone done to me. Well, you know what? You probably have a point there. There's a lot of things I don't know about a lot of folks, but I do know this. God so loved the world. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I just believe God's word. And if I can help be a part of helping somebody find a new life in Christ, if I could be just a small part of that, I want to be a part of that. Don't you? Amen. So back to chapter 20. So here we so what do we have? First of all, did you write it down? I hope that you did. Satan is going to be bound. Number two, the resurrections. The resurrections. Number three, the thousand-year reign. Now this one's almost, I'm not speaking in a condescending way, but there are people that say, well, you know, there's not going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ. There's no such thing as a millennial kingdom. And I'm thinking, well, how can you have your Bible open and say something like that? And yet there are people that do. But I want you to notice, and I've highlighted, look at the end of verse number two, a thousand years. Look toward the end of chapter three, verse three of chapter 20, till the thousand years should be fulfilled. You see that in verse number three of chapter 20? Look at the last statement in verse number four. If they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years. Look at the first statement in verse number five. And the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years were finished. Look at the last statement in verse number six. And shall reign with him a thousand years. Look at the first statement in verse number seven. And when the thousand years are expired. You know what? There is going to be a time frame of a thousand years that means something big to God. He just keeps repeating it. And yet there are those who say, hey, you know, we don't believe in no millennial reign. Well, what's wrong with you? Open your Bible. The Old Testament over and over and over again talked about the kingdom age. As a matter of fact, the prophets, and I want you to just, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Peter for a second, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1. Did you know that when you read the Old Testament, the prophets were prophesying, and when they were prophesying, they had this difficulty. And I want you to listen to me carefully here. Sometimes we have this difficulty. You can be reading scripture, and all of a sudden, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around something because of the way it's worded, and you think, what's happening here? Peter said, I'm going to tell you what's happening. He said, the prophets before you struggled with this. And here's what they struggled with. We've been hearing about Elijah. We've been hearing about these prophets of God, these great men of God. Isaiah, what a prophet of God. Ezekiel, Daniel, what a man of God. They struggled with some things. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, I'm going to tell you what it is. He said, it's that kingdom. He said, when the prophets were prophesying, they saw the kingdom, right? They didn't see something. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's writing in chapter 1, and let's pick up at verse number 8. He mentions the appearing of Jesus Christ at the last part of verse 7. You see that? He said, hey, Jesus is coming. And then he just gets excited. And he says in verse number 8, whom haven't not seen? We haven't seen him yet, but we sure do love him. Amen, church? He's coming back. We haven't seen him, but one day we're going to. Amen. That's what Peter's saying. And he said, oh, I just love him. Then he said this in verse number 8, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now watch this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. He said, I tell you right now, those prophets, when they were writing, they didn't understand what was going on here. How are these Gentiles going to get in? What's this suffering of Christ? And they were writing about the kingdom age where Jesus is sitting on a throne, not going to a cross. And they couldn't reconcile the two. Look what he said. He said, they inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace of God that should come unto you. He said, they were searching what or of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. He said, they couldn't reconcile this. Here these men were, they just couldn't reconcile these prophets of God as they were prophesying and writing about this kingdom age, but yet it kept talking about, well, Isaiah 53 He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. And they're thinking, stripes? Wounded? What? Being led as a sheep to the slaughter? The king that's going to rule and reign over a kingdom? They struggled. Why? They didn't see us. They didn't see the church. You see, this kingdom age is going to take place. And that's what the prophets wrote about. And my, they wrote a lot about it. And so when you get over here in chapter number 20, as we turn back, he said, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And brethren, we're going to rule and reign with him. God has made us kings and priests. Where are you going to be a king at? Is that what Revelation 1, 5 and 6 and 7 says? We're going to be kings and priests. Where are you going to be a king at? In the millennial kingdom. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. That's what the book says, brother. Amen. Listen to me. I'm telling you what the Bible says. We get so caught up in this world. This world has nothing, listen, to compare to what is yet to be revealed for us. Brethren, our best days are ahead. I praise God for my life. Don't misunderstand me. God's been very good to me. Very good to me. Far better than I deserve. But our best days as born-again children of God are ahead of us. Amen. So don't despair now. All right, listen to me now. Don't despair. One day Jesus is coming, and he's going to put all things that are wrong, he's going to make them right. And the scripture says that Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And there's going to be resurrection. All right? And there's going to be celebration. And then the scripture says there's going to be this 1,000-year millennial reign. The millennial reign of Christ, where he will sit upon his throne, the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. The scripture teaches this. A lion will lay down with a lamb. I mean, listen, all the curse will be lifted in the animal kingdom, in the mineral kingdom. I mean, it's going to be something, brethren. It's going to be something right here on this earth. This earth. And the scripture says this in verse number 7. And I must hasten. I want to get through here. Look at verse 7. It says, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That's another big event. He's going to be set free. Now, why would God do that? Well, we're going to talk about that. I do want to tell you this. You can remove sin from the environment, but that doesn't clean up sinners. Did you hear what I just said? And God's getting ready to prove that right here. Satan's been in prison for 1,000 years. And I believe all the imps of hell that followed him out of heaven went to hell with him during this time. I can't prove that, but I believe that evil shut down for 1,000 years. And there's going to be life on earth. It's going to be bliss. It's going to be bliss. And the scripture says in verse number 7 that after he's loose, look at verse number 8, he shall go out to sea. You know, that tells you something about somebody, doesn't it? Doesn't it, brethren? Been in prison for 1,000 years and can't wait to get out so he can go deceive some other people. That's the lowest of the low. That's the lowest of the low. And that's what he is, by the way. That's why I don't want to give him a moment of my time. Now, I'm not standing up here trying to pretend I'm something I'm not, but I don't want to give him a moment of my time. God help me. I don't want to give him anything. He's took too much from me and you. God help us to resist the devil. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil. The Bible says he'll flee from us. I don't want to give him anything. And so don't you give in now. You stand. The Bible says, haven't done all to stand, stand. Don't give in to him. You say, well, I can't help it. Yeah, you can help it. I can help it. But now we can't do it without God's help. Amen? Then he said this. He said in verse number 8, he's going to go into the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number, now this is another big thing here, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That just absolutely blows the top off of my head. What? You've lived in a kingdom age of bliss for 1,000 years or a portion of that, depending on when you were born. I believe there will be children born in the millennial kingdom. We'll get into that at another time, because there will be people that will go over, the nations will transfer over from the end of the tribulation into the millennial reign, and we'll talk about that. But you've lived in an environmental bliss for a long period of time. Here comes along the devil, and you're ready to join ranks with him, and let's go deceive and kill and murder and destroy. What does this teach? Reformation is no good. Please listen to me. It takes transformation. Reformation doesn't work. Man thinks it's education. Man thinks it's reformation. Man thinks it's everything but Jesus. The only way a man is going to get right is get saved. It's the only way, brethren. It's the only way. Men's been trying to substitute something for God's way for years. Doesn't work. God's proven it right here. Then the Bible says that God is going to come, and he's going to, as this group in verse number 9, as they encamp about them. And my time's up, so I'm just going to mention these last ones here. And fire from heaven is going to come down and devour them. That doesn't make me happy. It doesn't. But there's a lesson to learn here. You run with the devil, you lose every time. Every time. Not most of the time. Every time. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be a preacher. You can be a preacher's wife. You can be a preacher's kid. You can be a missionary. You can be a good person. You can be a good Christian. But if you hang out with the devil, you're going to lose every time. Every time. Just stay away from him. Resist him. Say, well, he keeps coming to me. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and the Bible has promised he'll flee from you. The scripture says, then after that, look in verse number 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now here's something we need to learn. The punishment for sin is eternal. The devil didn't pay the punishment for sin for 1,000 years. If you'll go back and look in verse number 20 of chapter 19, I want you to see something here. The beast and the false prophet, the latter part of verse number 20 of chapter 19, I want you to see this. So look at it if you would. Okay? Chapter 19, verse 20. The last part says, these both, that's the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with fire and brimstone. You see that? These are the first two people, and I believe there's a reason for it. These are the first two people that go to eternal hell. So, oh, no, everybody's in hell. Now, they don't believe Jesus. Well, no, wait a minute. Hold it now. Not in the lake of fire, they're not. They're in a holding cell. That's right. That's what the Bible says. These are the first two individuals that go to the lake of fire. That's right. These two men, they're men. Now, they're devil-possessed men, the beast and the false prophet, but they're the first two that go into the lake of fire. And then the devil's going to be the third. Notice what the scripture says over in chapter 20, in verse number 10. The scripture says that the devil that deceived them, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. You see that in verse 10? Where the beast and the false prophet, look at this next word, are. So don't tell me now, well, you know, you'll burn up in hell. I believe in annihilation. I don't know. 1,000 years later, these two were still burning. And I'm not saying that being mean now. I'm not sarcastic. I'm not. I'm saying it just to show you that hell fire is eternal. All right? There's no such thing as annihilation or purgatory. Listen, all that's man-made false doctrine. So the beast and the false prophet went to hell, the lake of fire. And then the devil's thrown there. You say, well, what about people who die without Jesus? Well, that's what we'll look at when we begin to look. Look at verse 11, the great white throne judgment. We're about through, all right? The great white throne. Now, remember what I read to you about verse number 14 and death and hell? Death, the body. Hell is that place in the center of the earth. I don't know when God created it. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But he didn't say anything about hell, all right? But I know this. I know this, that there's a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Read Matthew, I think it's 25, might be 26:41. It says that this place was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if people go there as intruders because they have rejected Jesus Christ. So God's going to bring people out of hell. Is there fire in hell? I know there's fire in hell. How do you know there's fire in hell? Luke 16 said that this man that died, he went to hell. And to the torment of the flame, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. For I am tormented in what? This flame. So there's flame in hell. So don't mistake what I just said. In verse number 14, look at it again. Death and hell were what? Cast where? Into the lake of fire. So that's the eternal abode of the lost. So it's not that hell doesn't have fire. It's just that that's where all the people without God go, without Jesus. But as far as I can tell, now if you can find anything different, the first two individuals that were cast into the lake of fire were the beast and the false prophet. And then the devil, and then the white throne judgment, and all those that are in hell are going to come out, and they're going to stand before the white throne judgment of God, and then they're going to be cast into their eternal place of punishment, which is the lake of fire. The final thing that we'll look at is, after the great white throne judgment, the new heaven and the new earth. As we stand to our feet, I just tried to whet your appetite a little bit. You say, well, what is that? What's all that? All this, what's going to happen? It's going to happen. This is going to happen. See, when you get your mind wrapped around this, brother, it'll just help you live different. It'll help you witness to people differently. It'll help you view people differently. You have to live with eternity in mind. You can't just get bogged down in this world. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. But you've got to understand, this is going to happen. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's when is this going to happen. This is going to happen. All right? And so I pray that as we study this, that God would just say, you know what? Wake up, sleepy Christian. Wake up, lukewarm Christian. Wake up, lethargic Christian. And know that not only is your time short, but that one that is not saved, their time is short too. They stand to lose a lot. And so God help you and God help me to keep this in mind. Father.